Hello, this is City Journal Associate Editor Matthew Hennessy. I am here on a rainy Friday afternoon in New York City with Jared Meyer of E21. That stands for Economic Policies for the 21st Century, which is the Manhattan Institute's Washington, D.C.-based policy center focused on economic issues and questions. Jared, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So the big show, the Academy Awards, is coming up in about a week. And so Jared and I are going to talk movies today, but we're not going to talk about Best Picture or Best... Well, we will talk a little bit about Best Picture, but not in the way that maybe you expect. We're going to be talking about the tax incentives and the credits that states and cities throw at film production companies to try to lure filmmakers to their states and cities. Once upon a time, Jared, all the movies were made in Hollywood, California. But for a long time, cities like New York, states like New York, and places like North Carolina and Atlanta, Georgia, and Louisiana have been competing against one another to lure productions to their shores, so to speak. So I want to talk a little bit about how that works and what exactly these states and cities can offer these production companies, these filmmakers.
Well, we really have a wide array of incentives that states use to try to bring film production to their states for the perceived benefits. So if you look at, you know, some states like Nebraska will just offer a grant, so it kind of offset the cost of making the movie, really nothing substantial. But if you look at the big, you know, the heavy hitters, we're looking at Louisiana, California, New York, I mean, they pay up to 30% of a movie's production cost through a fully refundable production credit.
So when you say a fully refundable production credit, what does that mean in the real world? What does that mean to the filmmakers and their bottom line?
Well, I mean, since we're on the, you know, we're getting closer to the Oscars, let's look at one movie that was just filmed in New York, The Wolf of Wall Street, which is kind of funny, a movie about, you know, corporate greed, but we get to look at the industry's greed. The Wolf of Wall Street had a $100 million production budget. If they film it in New York is going to pay them 30% of their production, because this isn't an income tax credit like what you would fill out. You know, it's getting closer to tax season. You're not getting an income tax credit. You are getting a production credit. So, you know, Wolf of Wall Street costs $100 million. Let's say it flops. You know, I obviously didn't, but it made no money. So they would owe no taxes to New York, yet they would receive about a $30 million check in the mail. If they made, let's say they owed $10 million in taxes, New York would make up the difference, because that's what refundable means, that they would get $20 million then from the state of New York.
So what's the problem, though? Presumably a big show like The Wolf of Wall Street with big famous director and famous stars have a lot of options. It takes place in New York City. Obviously, it's The Wolf of Wall Street, but they don't have to shoot every scene in New York City. They could go to Portland, Oregon to shoot the interiors on a soundstage if they wanted to, right?
Yes, they could go somewhere else. And the reason that a lot of governors don't want that to happen is they have this perceived jobs benefit and economic boost that will come from filming in the state. They also look at it as, you know, free tourism money. So there are some good intentions behind why they're doing this.
Okay, so are you suggesting that doesn't happen? A big Hollywood production comes to town, got a lot of rich people, well-paid stars, they're going out to dinner, they're hiring local caterers and production help. You're suggesting that doesn't give a little boost to a local economy?
Oh, there's definitely economic activity. That can't be denied. But I mean, when you subsidize anything, if you're paying for you know, a quarter to a third of an industry's costs, you're going to get more of that industry. You're going to get economic growth. The real question is it worth the cost? Is this worth, you know, paying these rich Hollywood producers with regular taxpayers' money? There's a lot of studies that have been produced, most of them actually funded by the Motion Picture Association. So that should raise a few red flags there. But there's some major problems with these studies. As you brought up, local caterers. The studies take into account that if, you know, I run a catering company and I'm serving Leonardo DiCaprio his, you know, pizza every lunch, I would not exist. None of the economic benefit that I create would exist if it wasn't for this production credit. So first of all, it's over-encompassing. It takes all economic activity that's even closely tied to producing the film and counts that as a direct result of the film production credit.
Well, let me throw some real numbers at you. I read in the Washington Post this afternoon, I'm not sure if it's in today's paper or it'll be in tomorrow's paper, but it's about the show that everyone's talking about, House of Cards, and producers of House of Cards sent a letter to the governor of Maryland, where the show is filmed, and to the state legislature there, saying that they were threatening to pull the production out of the state if the state didn't sweeten the deal that it was being offered. And in the letter, the producer wrote, and the Washington Post confirmed, that the production had created 6,000 jobs in Maryland and allegedly ginned up $250 million to the state's economy. I mean, that's big bucks. Doesn't that offset whatever it is that the state has to pull from the regular taxpayer, as you say, to lure these companies?
Well, it's really not. You can't even quantify that because there's certain things that economists call opportunity cost. It's really what's not seen. So what's obvious and what's seen is the jobs directly related to producing House of Cards. But what's not seen is the, you know, extra work that other taxpayers have to do to fund this. Or, you know, there's the revenue has to come from somewhere. Either you have to raise rates on other people or you're going to need to cut essential government services. You know, is money better spent going to produce House of Cards in Maryland or to fund, you know, inner city Baltimore public schools? There's really questions about what's the best use of taxpayer money.
So if it's not a good use of taxpayer money and if it's a net loss for these states, why do they do it?
Well, the reason they do it is, as I said, there are studies that really claim that there's benefits, but in addition to, first of all, over-encompassing the economic activity that has to do with this, they also ignore the opportunity costs I brought up. They don't see that this money would be spent somewhere else. If you don't have people coming in and making movies, then they can spend their money on other things. You know, there are other industries that can grow. And really, if we want to bring any industry in, just subsidize it to a certain level and you'll get that industry. But right now, with so many states having these benefits, another state adding it is just not going to create anything. First of all, there's states with smaller amounts. They just can't compete with the big hitters, as I said, Louisiana, California, and New York.
How much of this do you think is just a glitz factor, that getting a big movie filmed in your state is just sort of an easier sell politically or in terms of, you know, finding the money in the budget to provide these credits than getting a big drug company to keep from moving across the state lines?
Yeah, you really hit on something there. I mean, the way I see it, these movie production credits are just a way for governors and state lawmakers to rub elbows with the rich and famous. I mean, this didn't always exist. Louisiana was the first state in 1992 to start offering incentives, and that only really covered losses for movies filmed there. But it really took off in 2002 and reached a peak in about 2010 when 40 states were offering credits and an estimated $1.4 trillion were paid out that year. These are all, you know, gains going right to the movie industry.
So 40 states, that was in 2010. Is there still 40 states?
No, it has been falling as more states have realized, you know, the economic benefits are oversold. If you look at more academic literature, not reports funded by the movie industry, they find anywhere between, you know, 18 cents on the dollar and 30 cents on the dollar for return. It's clearly a loss.
So who are the, go over again, who are the biggest states that are involved in this?
Well, New York offers the 30%. That's a fully refundable credit. Louisiana offers that and also an additional percent on payroll. And California now is talking about increasing theirs because they, you know, they're known for Hollywood. As you brought up, there was one time when that's where all movies were filmed. And they feel as if they have to increase it to keep up. But there is one thing that is very interesting. Also in these studies, they claim that no movies would be made in the state without the production credit. I mean, maybe in Oklahoma, this could be something. But if we're talking about California or New York, that's simply unrealistic.
Well, let me tell you something about California. And the LA Times reported this week that there's a bill before the California State Assembly to expand or improve that state's credit. And I want to read this quote from one of the assemblymen out there, Raul Bocanegra. He said, quote, "This expanded and improved program will go a long way towards making California more competitive with other states' programs. Right now, we're getting our lunch handed to us by these other states. We simply can't stand by and watch this $17 billion a year sector of economy continue to leave California." Now, the mixed metaphor about having our lunch handed to us aside, what is the reality if all of these programs went away tomorrow? What would happen? What is the world you would like to see?
If all of these programs were to disappear tomorrow, what I think would be a better system is it would allow, you know, more common sense incentives to work. You know, let's say if what we're really trying to do is help local filmmakers, you know, make movies, maybe get some exposure, we don't need to offer these insanely high deals. I mean, he's talking like California has no incentives. They're already offering over 20%. I mean, that's to act like that is nothing is just disingenuous. But if we want to help local artists, we can do things where maybe if you have a film budget under $100,000, you could have maybe an income tax credit or pay a little less. But this whole production credit, I mean, imagine if this was going to the oil industry, the public outcry that would go on right now. But it's going to Hollywood, and people, you know, they view Hollywood in a different way. It's kind of the same thing with sports stadiums for cities. When they're pursuing those, they ignore all economic truths and are just set on getting this movie or getting this team to come here.
Yeah, well, that'll be another different, longer podcast. I think that's all the time we have. Jared Meyer, I want to thank you for joining me.
All right, thank you for having me.
You can find Jared on Twitter at JaredMeyer10, and you can also follow his writings on the E21 website, which is economics21.org. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, this is Matthew Hennessy for City Journal. Thank you very much for listening.